I'd like you to turn this morning in your Bibles to the 20th chapter of John, please. John 20. And I'd like to speak this morning on the fourth lesson on the series of messages that I started here a few weeks ago on how to navigate through life's faith journey. How to navigate through life's faith journey. How many know that when we give our hearts to Christ, we begin a journey, and the conclusion of that journey is with the Lord in heaven someday? Amen? What a rejoicing that is. But God hasn't just thrown us out and said, good luck, we'll see you when you get here. He's given us some things, and in a moment there'll be seven things that we've been talking about that God has given us in order to help us on our faith journey. We began the series by talking about the power of the Word of God, the Bible, our compass that God has given us to walk through this culture and make decisions based on the Word of God. How many believe in the Bible today? Amen? I hope you all do, because it is our compass. It is what helps us navigate through this life. And then we talked about the power of prayer. And I liken the power of prayer that when that compass sometimes gets hit and that needle starts to spin, the power of prayer, when we go to prayer, settles that needle down and gets it pointing to true north once again. Or pointing toward, magnetic north so that we can follow our directions. And then the third thing we talked about, the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that comes along and indwells us and gives us the courage to go on, the undaunting courage to go on in the face of storms and difficulties. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that comes and assures us that He is with us and He's never going to forsake us and that He points us back always to Jesus. This morning I want to talk about the fourth and fifth one. I want to talk about the power of God's presence. Now there's a real similarity between the presence, the power of the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit as well. And we'll make that connection, but I'm going to kind of take a different direction for the presence of God that we felt this morning and that you can feel in your life when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. But it is God's presence that so helps us and encourages us. And I want to couple that with number five, the power of trusting and obedience to God's will. Because I believe that the presence of God and the will of God are linked together. And they have been given to us to help us navigate through this life. Because when we know that God's presence is there, it makes it easier, I think, to listen to and follow and know the will of God and to respond to that. So, having said that, I want to begin in John chapter 20, verse 18. It says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things to her. And the things He spoke to her, we're not going to deal with this morning. But what I want you to see is Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And she was an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. And I'm sure that the disciples had their doubts. I'm sure that they thought maybe she was just fanatical, maybe she was just hysterical, maybe she was beside herself. But Mary saw the Lord. She really did. And she came and told the disciples, because that's what Jesus had told Mary to do. Go tell my disciples that I've risen and I'll meet them in Galilee. And so she came and said that the Lord had spoken these things to her. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, which is Sunday, they were assembled together. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were afraid. They had heard Mary's witness. They had seen the empty tomb, but they met together and they were fearful. They were assembled in this little place. And during this time, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." The very first words that Jesus spoke to them when He came to them and was present with them were these words, "Peace be to you." Peace be to you. Because He knew they were afraid. He knew they were frightened. He knew that they were confused. He knew that they had forgotten some of the promises that Jesus had made to them about raising from the dead. So Jesus brought them his peace as he walked into the presence of the disciples. He walked in and his presence made all the difference. Verse 20. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, at first, maybe they thought they had seen a ghost. Maybe it was an apparition. But Jesus said, "Peace be to you." And then he reached out his hands and said, "Go ahead. Look at the nail prints. You saw me on the cross. Look at the nail prints. Those are real." And he lifted up his garment and said, "Look at the spear marks in my side. That is real. But I'm here. I'm not a ghost. I'm not an apparition. I am here. I am present with you." And it says the disciples, when they were glad when they saw the Lord, that relieved their mind, and all of a sudden joy began to flood into them. And then in verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you." He reiterates the fact that his presence brings peace. "Peace be to you." And then he says this, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now that's a navigation word, sending. I'm going to send you on a journey. As the Father sent me from heaven to earth, and I fulfilled my mission after 33 years, I've come, I've ministered, I've given my life on the cross, I've risen from the dead, and soon I'll be ascending to my Father in heaven. As I was sent, and God's word and God's strength and God's power and prayer helped me navigate through the years of my life here, so I am sending you. And in the book of Acts, we see the story of how the Holy Spirit and how God and Jesus helped the disciples navigate through starting the early church and through all the things that they did. And so when he said, "I also send you," it was the sense of navigating. I'm going to send you, and if I send you, I'm going to give you some tools. And when he had said this, this is verse 22, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so he breathed on them his breath, and the Holy Spirit came into their lives, and they had a tool that they could use to navigate through the difficult situations that they would soon face. Now, I want you to turn to verse 30 and 31 now, if you would, please. At the end of that chapter, it says these words. It says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples." In their presence, he did many other signs which are not written in this book, meaning the book of John, if you will. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." How many believe in Jesus today? Amen. We just sang it. "Jesus, I believe in you." And many and many other things that Jesus did that are not recorded, but while he was in their presence. Well, now we know that we believe, because we believe the scriptures and we believe the word of God. We believe the witness of the Holy Spirit that God is with us. And so this morning, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Send, again, is a navigation term. I'm going to send you. Think of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand of Spain when Columbus came to them and expressed his desire, feeling like it was a mission that God had given him. Irregardless of what the new age is trying to rewrite history, if you'll just put that aside, Columbus had a mission. God had anointed him to do a mission. And this Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand believed in him, and they sent him out, and he would discover the new world. It says President Roosevelt sent General MacArthur to the Philippines. He sent him. In the book of Acts, the Bible says the Holy Spirit sent Paul to Macedonia. These individuals were sent. And so in each of these examples, it required the person to navigate through some very difficult times and situations. But knowing that they had been sent was an important part of the assignment. If you read some of the writings from Columbus on his journey, you'll find that many of the sailors on the Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria had become discouraged, and they thought they were going to fall off the edge of the earth. But in Columbus's heart, he knew what God had spoken, that God had said go. And so he tried to encourage them, but they were threatening mutiny and the storms had come up. But because Columbus had been sent, the sender had an influence on him, even though they were not there. Even though Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand were not on those ships, the fact they sent him was in the back of his mind. And I can guarantee you that General MacArthur had the sender in the back of his mind. And when Paul went out to Macedonia, he knew that God had sent him. When you know that you have been sent, the sender may not be right there physically, but in the back of your mind, you know I'm on a mission and I've got a responsibility, and you sense the presence of the sender. Amen. You sense that. Almost 40 years ago, our organization sent Cheryl and I to Battleground. He sent us here. And as they sent us, and we had never been here before. We came sight unseen. And we came to the first service in that little building over there. It was even smaller than it is now. And I remember there was about 60 people in the church, including children at that time. And I remember that they had sent us. And that first service that we came was on a Wednesday night. Eddie was like 3.5 or 4 or something like that. He was little. And so we held him in our arms and we stood on the platform as we were introduced. And our superintendent said, "This is who our organization has sent to pastor here in Battleground." And Eddie looked out at those people sitting there and he frowned a frown like I'd never seen before. And I'd given him the pep talk before we started. I said, "Now, Eddie, little Eddie, you know, smile at the people, be friendly. You know, these are the folks going to pay our salaries." And so he just scowled at people. And so I preached my message and shared my heart. And when it was over, everyone thanked us. You know, I'm not sure the message was great, but anyway, we did it. And then one lady came up to us, and she later became my secretary and a very dear friend of my wife. But she looked us at in the eye, and she said, "My name is," and she said her name, and she says, "Don't you ever forget it." Turned around and walked off. That was our greeting. Welcome to Battleground. Now, she was joking, of course, but in all the years that we've been here as pastors, I want to tell you, we never forget that we were sent here. Number one, by God Almighty. Amen. God sent us here. And that is always in the forefront, that God sent us here on a mission, and we're not done till He tells us we're done. But also the senders, our organization, Reverend Harms, our president at the time, sent us here. We remember that. We had a responsibility. Now, they didn't wiretap our phones, and they didn't stop by unexpectedly, and they didn't send investigators to find out how we were doing, but they were praying for us, and we, because we felt we were sent, we felt their presence with us. And many times when they were not here, we felt their presence, knowing they were for us and encouraging us and praying for us. And how many know that's what God does for us? He sends us out and says, "My presence is with you." Amen. And you can sense the presence of the Lord, that somehow you're there. And that presence of God makes all the difference in the world. It was in the back of their minds, of the example I've given you during the rough times and the good times, and it needs to be in the back of ours. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So every one of you today, every one of us who are born-again believers, we have been sent by Jesus. We've been sent on this mission. We've been sent to navigate this journey until we come to rest in the Lord's presence in heaven. Now, God's presence is an important part of navigating our way through life. God's presence is like the hand on the shoulder as we pilot our ship through life's waters. It is the wind in the sails, if you've read Narnia, in the Dawn Treader as she makes her way to Aslan's country. The God's presence is the power that moves our vessel onward to victory. God's presence changes everything. How many know that when God shows up, everything changes? Amen? Everything changes when God shows up. And He said, "I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world, I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." His presence has been promised to us. God's presence is like the charging of your batteries when your lights grow dim. It's like God's presence is the fuel in your tank. It is ever with us to make this journey bearable. That's why David would write in Psalm 16:11, in the presence of God, in your presence is fullness of joy and fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. There's something about God's presence. As a matter of fact, God's presence gives us a little heaven on earth before we get to heaven. And His presence comes during our worship service. I felt God's presence here today. And in my home, I can feel God's presence there. When you're on your job, you can feel God's presence there. You can feel that hand on your shoulder. When you're doing your work at home, you can feel His presence there. You know, God's presence knows no barriers and no walls. Amen? It is always there. And you can be surrounded by the storms, but His presence is there. You can feel God. I just finished reading a book by Louis Zamperini. And some of you will remember Louis as the man who was stranded for 47 days in the Pacific. His plane was shot down and three of them survived. One of them died at sea. The other two would survive. Incredible odds. And it's an incredible story. It's been made into a movie now. But I've just been reading a little his memoirs. He's passed away now. But one of the things that he said, out there in the Pacific, he was floating on this raft. They had been shot out by the Japanese, and they miraculously, not one bullet had hit them, and yet it made multiple holes in their rafts. It's a really amazing story. But he said he remembered being out there. He said, I was not a religious man. He said, my mama was, and I know she was praying, but I made God a promise. If He would get me out of here, if He would help me survive, I would serve Him. Well, he ended up surviving. He survived prison camp. He got back and he was an alcoholic and he drank and he did everything. He got in more scrapes and more problems. And his wife, eventually, they were going to divorce. And yet, Billy Graham was going to have the first crusade that he would ever have in Los Angeles. And Louis Zamperini's wife went and she gave her heart to the Lord. And she came back and said, Louis, you got to go with me. And he said, no, 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 no. But finally, he gave in. And he said, I'll go. And so he went to a Billy Graham crusade. And Billy Graham began to preach. And Billy Graham began to say, we're all sinners. And Louis said, that's when I was going to get up and get out of there. He said, nobody's going to call me a sinner. He said, it was the truth. And I knew it. But nobody was going to call me a sinner. But he couldn't get up. And so the next night, his wife said, come again. He said, okay, I'll come again. But the minute he says, bow your head, we are leaving this place. And so he went again, and Billy Graham said, bow your head. And he got up, and he grabbed his wife, and he started out. But he said, when I got to the aisle, I felt something. How many know what that was? Amen? He said, I felt something. And instead of turning to go out, I said, and he said, I turned and went down to the altar and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he was born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I have felt God's presence with me even when I wasn't a Christian. But now that I am a Christian, I felt God's presence with me every single day. And it's the most wonderful feeling in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God changes lives, does He not? Amen. Now, Louis Zamperini would go on to influence many, many people in his lifetime. Many movie stars and athletes and different things. Incredible story. If you have a chance, you know, read the story or see the movie. It's incredible. But it's God's presence that makes all the difference. And we can feel and sense His presence. And that's what gives us hope and courage. When we're going through difficult times on this journey, we don't know where to turn. And maybe the clouds have moved in. And we look out and we say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And we take our Bibles, our compass, and our arrow says that way, but it just doesn't seem to be that way. Anybody ever get lost before? You want to be honest? My goodness. A lot of people got lost. How many got found? How many are still lost? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I've been lost before. Not too often, but I've been lost before. And I want to tell you, for those that have been lost, for you have not been lost, what's your IQ? You must have a real good IQ. No, I'm kidding. I want to tell you, it is the oddest, strangest, scary feeling, isn't it? To be lost out in the woods, not knowing. And I remember when I was lost, and it was right up here, you know, not too far from where we are. I had gone out to the woods, and I, you know, and my son will tell you, I'm a good woodsman. I'm prepared. I know how to get myself around. But I got turned around, and it said, my compass said, go that way. But I said, that can't be true. I'm going to go this way. And I stumbled this way and realized that's not the way. And so finally, I just, you panic. You know, sometimes life will do that to you. That's when you need to get out your compass and begin to read it and begin to pray and begin to say, Lord, I don't feel this is the right way, but show me the right way. God will show you the right way. And I want to tell you what makes the difference. His presence. Amen. His presence. Now, I got lost long before they had GPSs. Now, yesterday, I took a short trip to watch my granddaughter Abby play softball in an area that I'd never been to before. I've been up the I-5 corridor many, many, many times, but I've never been to Gig Harbor. And some of you have been there. And so I usually have my travel buddy with me. That's my wife. And so I have a GPS, I have my wife, I have two women in the car. And then when she turns on her GPS, she's got an Australian accent on hers. And then I've got three women in the car. 3-1. All right, I'm outmatched. But my traveling buddy wasn't able to go, so I went by myself. So she programmed her GPS, and she says, okay, I'm going to tell you how to get there. And I appreciated that, but I had already programmed mine. All right? And so anyway, I got in the car and I programmed the GPS and it said, you know, go. And he got me to I-5 and said, now for 119 miles, stay on this road. And I said, that's pretty simple. But then I got up around the Tacoma area, exit 132. And I've been that way a lot of times, but I've never taken that exit 132. And I want to tell you, I've never appreciated a voice like I did then. Because here's my GPS, and she says, all right, you've got 10 miles, and you're going to take exit 132. I like that 10-mile warning, right? And then about 2 miles, she comes on and says, all right, in 2 miles, you're going to take exit 132, right? And then at about 0.5 miles, she comes on and says, in half a mile, you're going to turn on exit 132, so turn off your phone, or get off the phone, or turn down the radio. No, she doesn't really say that. All right. And so I took that exit, 132, and all of a sudden I'm in new territory. And so I'm listening really close to her. And she says, okay, for the next 10 miles, you're going this direction. You know, and so I'm listening to everything she says. And so I crossed the Narrows Bridge. I'd never been across those before, beautiful bridges. And got across the Narrows Bridge. And then she says, now you're going to take this exit, city center. And I did. And she said, all right, take this road. And now I'm starting to squirrel my way down to the high school. Now, as I'm making my way, and I'm listening to her, and so far she's been spot on. But when I got down to a stop sign, a four-way stop sign, I saw all these high school kids selling mattresses. It's this mattress fundraiser. And if you haven't seen them, it's really cute. They dress up like a mattress. And it's a fundraiser for the high school. So I got up to the four-way stop, and I rolled down the window. I says, hey, buddy, how you doing? Good, sir, good. He thought I was going to buy a mattress. Said, where's the high school? Oh, boy, you just down one more and make it. And I said, thanks a lot. He said, yeah. And he jumps around in his mattress uniform. I thought, yeah, that's fun. And then I got down and I made the turn. And all this time, GPS is telling me where to turn. She's telling me where to turn. She's right. And then I saw some more high school students closer to the high school and some more mattresses they were wearing. You know, where's the high school, young man? Oh, boy, just right up there and make a right. So I did everything the GPS told me, and I got there. I watched the game, and now I've got to come back. So I reprogrammed it for Battleground. And she told me what to do, backtracked, made my way. Kids with mattresses were done, so I didn't see them. But I got out off the road, but I noticed something different on this one. She said, in 10 miles, you know, you'll do this. But then at the bottom of the screen, it says, and there will be a toll bridge. And you're going to have to pay some money. I didn't have to pay going over, but I had to pay to come back. So if you ever go to Gig Harbor and you take the bridge over, you better have $6 to pay the toll to get back. All right? But the GPS knew that. The GPS knew that. And so I paid the toll. I got home. Everything was fine. But what would have happened had I not listened to that voice? When GPSs were first out, Cheryl and I were in downtown Los Angeles, and I had it programmed, and Cheryl said, "That's not right." I said, "What do you mean it's not right?" I said, "It's not right." I said, "I'm following her directions." And she said, "She's not right. I got the map." I said, "Well, dear, we should follow her." She said, "Okay, but she's not right." Well, I followed the GPS. She said, "Turn right and you are at your destination." And it was a dead end in an industrial area. And my wife just sat there like a good wife and smiled and said, "I told you so." The presence of the Lord. The voice that says to us, "Stay on course." God's never made a mistake. God's never made a mistake. And He's not going to start with you. Stay on course, and you'll navigate safely and on time. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus, and the presence of God on this faith journey are indispensable in helping us journey and navigate our way through this life that we're in. What do I do about this, Pastor? What do I do about this? Let's see what the Bible has to say. Amen? Let's go to our compass. I'm not sure if I can do that, Pastor. Let's pray about it. Let's see if God will give you the strength to do it. I think He will. All right? And so we'll pray about it. And then we know the Holy Spirit is inside of us. We know He lives within us. And so He's going to give us good direction and help us through the difficult times. And then there will come times when we may not feel like we're going in the right directions, and the presence of God will be there to help assure us that we're right on track, that we're right on track. Now, that's the presence that God has given us. I want you to turn to Hebrews, please, chapter 13. I want to talk now just briefly and tie these two together about trusting and obeying God's will. Listen to the words of the writer of Hebrews as he finishes this book and gives the Hebrew benediction. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. "Now may the God of peace..." Isn't it interesting that when we read John, it started with peace, and now we're going to end with peace. "Who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work," to what? "Do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let me read my final remarks, if you would. As we navigate through this life, it is essential that we seek for and discover God's will for our journey, and then we trust it and obey it. David said in Psalms, "I delight to do thy will, O God." God's will is the best way to live out our lives. His plan for us is greater than any plan we could have for ourselves. As we sail the great ship of God's will through the waters of our faith journey, we will come upon many rocks and shoals that would damage us. The siren song of doing my will can be heard by many a mariner on this journey. The siren song of my will that says, "Turn around, do it your way. God just doesn't want you to enjoy life." The siren song that says, "If you'll just follow your will, you'll have a lot better time and you'll get there a lot quicker." But that is a siren song that is leading you to the rocks. And if we listen to that, we will wreck our ship. And so we have to avoid the siren song that would damage us. But there are times when God's will and my will intersect and work wonderful together. But we need to be careful that we don't confuse our desires and our wants with His plans for us. Now, maybe your wants and desires will coordinate with God's will. That's fine. But if ever your wants and desires, if ever my wants and desires conflict with what God wants for me, I must follow God's will. I've got to follow God's will. And if I don't, I'm going to have a rougher journey than I could ever expect. Now, I believe that God, even if we take a wrong turn, God will always work things to our good, and He'll get us back around on track if we'll let Him. But God's will is so important. In the words of an old song, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." How many remember that song? Anybody? Oh, a lot of you. Then you can help me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That's a great song. And at one time, that was cutting edge. It may be old, but but it's still valuable. Amen? Trust and obey. When we sense God's presence telling us, this is my will for your journey, this is my will for your life, this is my will for you, we need to trust God's will and listen to His Spirit and His presence. We can trust God's presence. We can trust God's will for our lives. He has plotted a course for each of us. And let us be swift to obey and confidence in His presence to sail into the great unknown that we call the future, knowing that God will help us navigate through these waters, and by His power, He will help us arrive there safe and sound. Hallelujah. And to quote the words of Jesus from Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come," what? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the incredible tools that you've given us to help us navigate through this life's journey. Thank you for the Bible, our compass, our guide. Thank you for the invitation to pray, Lord, the ability to get the needle pointing in the right direction. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you indwell the believer and give them an unseen source of power that cannot be diminished by circumstances. Thank you for number 4 and 5, the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God that comes to us and stays with us and gives us confidence and says to us, "You're going to make it. You'll make it." Even when we're laid out on the deck of the ship, so afraid of the wind and the storm, your presence kneels beside us and says, "Rejoice, my son, rejoice, my daughter," and says, "Peace be still," and the storm stops. It's your presence that makes all the difference, knowing that we are following the will of God. You have got a plan set for us. Lord, this number 5, we follow the will of God. And with your presence, Lord, we will make it to the destination. Now, there may be someone this morning, Father, that's struggling with the will of God right now. They know what God is speaking, but they're not sure that's what they want to do. Help them to yield to the will of God. Help them, Lord, to yield to what you have for their life. It is the right road to follow. Maybe there's someone here today that's struggling with what the will of God really is for their life. I pray that you would help them discover that by reading the Word and by prayer and by seeking godly counsel and then coming to a conclusion that, yes, this is the will of the Lord. Father God, maybe someone here today is just in a storm. Their little boat is being tossed back and forth. And as the old saying goes, Lord, my boat is so small and the sea is so great. And yet your presence right now is assuring them they're going to make it because you're the master of the waves and the sea. Father, whatever it is, whatever people are thinking or struggling or dealing with right now, I know that by your presence, you're going to give them the confidence to carry on as they navigate life's faith journey through this world till we get to the next. I thank you for that today. Lord Jesus, it has been such a delight to be in the house of the Lord today, both with the folks in first service and now these who have come to our second service. We just rejoice over them and we thank you for them, Lord. Now, as we go our separate ways today, may we go in peace. Just as John said, just as Hebrews said, may we go in peace knowing that God is with us and will give us the strength that we need to do whatever it is that is necessary to make it where we're headed, Lord. And we give you thanks for that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Could you thank the Lord with me for his presence today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you being in church. And if you need special prayer for whatever reason, I'll be here for a little bit. I'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, go have a great afternoon. God bless.